Keith, we got a special guest this morning, our good friend from the Indianapolis Star, Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers. At Zach Osterman, you can find him on Twitter, joins us to talk about apparel contracts. Are you wearing your three stripes of Adidas this morning, my friend?
No, I'm wearing an oversized button-down shirt. I apologize.
There you go. Well, since you don't work for the university, that's not surprising. But the Adidas contract has been renewed, extended, whatever we'd like to call it. 8 years, around $56 million in change. It's those little numbers on the end aren't nearly as important as the ones in the middle. There were some rumblings going on that maybe Nike would be involved, maybe Under Armour would be involved. Your stories at theindystar.com has all the details. You did a great job on it. For folks just tuning into this or not really knowing how this game is played, Adidas had been with Indiana. It seems like, hey, why don't you just renew? It's a little bit more complicated than that, correct?
Yeah, I mean, Indiana even employed a firm, essentially sort of a marketing and branding firm, to give it a better idea of what it would be worth in the open market from a value standpoint, from a brand standpoint. And also, I think what Fred Glass talked about, basically figuring out ways in which Indiana, whichever company it went with, could sort of further its brand within that relationship, get more value out of that apparel relationship. Ultimately, I think Adidas just, Indiana was willing to listen to any offer. I think Adidas just came up with the best one. Obviously, Adidas did just lose Notre Dame to Under Armour, Michigan to Nike, and at the same time has had, as you said, a very long relationship with Indiana. And I think that realistically, the three stripes just made the offer that made the most sense financially and competitively for Indiana.
Now, it says here Indiana hit the jackpot with the deal. Those numbers have increased tremendously. How does it compare to some of the other big hitters nationally? Are we in that conversation? And how important, I know this is a triple part question here, how important is it to the university what branding they do have, what apparel they do have? Is that more for the incoming recruits? Is it more important for the alums, the coaches? Talk about why this is such a big deal.
Well, I think to your first question, it's in the top five among known deals nationally. Now, again, there are schools that don't have to release their apparel deals, private schools or semi-public, semi-private schools. They don't have to tell you how much they're getting. Indiana will be moving its annual payout from about $3.7 million up to about $6.7 million, which, if that was Indiana's payout this year, according to the Portland Business Journal, it would be third nationally. Now, those things, those numbers will change. But if you look at a lot of the schools around there, Indiana's now kind of on par with Kansas, with UCLA, so the other maybe big Adidas basketball powerhouses, and certainly up there with Ohio State, Alabama, maybe not quite Michigan because they just signed a new mega deal with Nike, but they're even up there with some of the football powerhouses that generally you think might have a little bit more branding power. So I think it's a good deal for Indiana in that sense. To your question about branding, I think it means different things for different people. You want sort of the bells and whistles for recruits, and at the same time, if you're Indiana, you want to put the tradition in front of them, the candy stripe pants, the old school uniforms, all that stuff. I think branding is very important to university people. You want to see one consistent brand across the board. And one of the things Fred Glass is very excited about with this is that Adidas is going to conduct what it called an audit, basically of all of its offerings, all of its apparel offerings to Indiana. And I've had people complaining to me about this for years, that if you walk into the bookstore, for example, you'll see five different shades of crimson. You'll see three different shades of cream.
What's crimson and cream? I thought Indiana was red and white.
They're
the candy stripe pants are not crimson and cream.
Try and even whatever they settle on, they're going to try and have one uniform color scheme across all sports and all apparel, and not sort of have this hodgepodge mix of different shades of red and things like that. So that's something that I know Indiana is excited about too.
Yeah, they need to do that.
Feel like it just hasn't been addressed appropriately, and now at least according to the terms of this deal, it's going to be. So I guess the answer.
Well, here the other thing is the other thing we need to remember is that it hasn't been addressed for hundreds and hundreds of years. If you walk around campus and see the signs in front of buildings, they're cream and crimson. If you look at the candy stripe warm up pants from however long since they've had them, they've always been red and white. So this isn't an Adidas problem. This isn't anybody's problem. Again, sometimes history gets the lines get blurred a little bit on that. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning. He's with the Indianapolis Star. I'm going to post his story on our Facebook page at WGCL so you can get all the details of the Indiana Adidas. And this is a contract extension, correct? So they've just extended and added to the current deal as opposed to stripping it down, renegotiating, and starting over. Any advantageous side of that or not?
Well, it's one of those things you kind of have to negotiate about a year out, because if you're going to stay with your current company, then your current company is presumably going to sweeten the pot with new uniform offerings, with improved uniforms, whether it's the way they look or the way they're designed or even the material that they're, you know, that you're using for dry fit purposes, whatever it is. And if you're going to a new company, then, you know, Michigan with Nike, for example, then Nike's going to need a year not just to roll out the designs for all the apparel, all the uniforms, all the gear, all the helmets, and then all the stuff you can buy at the bookstore, the hats, the T-shirts, whatever. They're going to need months and months to get all that stuff printed and produced and packaged and shipped. So it's basically one of those things that just because of the logistics, even if you're staying with your current company, because of the logistics of how long it takes to kind of gear up for a new phase, if you will, you kind of have to negotiate it that far out. If you negotiate it at the end of your contract, one, I would imagine you lose a little bargaining power, and two, you're going to get a brand new contract, and then you're not going to get any, you know, sort of shiny new apparel from that contract for several months.
And speaking of new apparel, we've seen Adidas roll out in the Big Ten tournament new kits, one-and-done kits perhaps, or kits we're going to wear the rest of the postseason. This new contract assures that will continue to happen?
It places them as optional, the men's basketball alternative.
So like when you see those Louisville uniforms with the stripes and the pants and everything else, you can say, no thanks, we don't want that, we'll try something different.
Yeah. It's one alternate uniform per year, although I do wonder, and this is mostly speculation on my part, but I do wonder if this would lead to some kind of sort of throwback, you know, opportunity or endeavor between Adidas and IU to go back maybe to the 1950s or the 1970s, something like that. I don't know that you'll ever see Indiana in like the Zubaz uniforms.
Well, there's not a lot of throwback to go to. The only thing that it says Indiana on the front says IU on the left pant leg or whatever it is, and that's it. Let's just hope we don't get into the black third-tier uniform and we start trotting that out. Indiana has some sacred things. The candy stripe pants we've talked about, everybody knows that. The no names on the back of the jerseys, got it. We've seen some of these test drive models at some of the Big Ten tournaments. You've seen the cream uniforms with the white undershirts. Those are things you just shake your head and say, come on, guys, can you figure that out at least? So what does the internet say about this? I know you get bothered by every nook and cranny from every corner of the state about IU basketball. Is this a positive thing? And the other angle would be, in a national sense, hey, is being part of Team Adidas, is that's important moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, there are people that maybe wanted to see Indiana go to Nike. I don't think it's, maybe, at least in the year, if we're just talking about Twitter reaction, that's what I'm talking about. There are also a number of people who, frankly, I think look at the final payout figure and say, you know, without considering we're comparing ourselves to schools that have powerful football programs and all the branding power that comes with that, to suddenly be on par with them.
So we should look more like what Kansas is doing. Is that fair?
Yes, and now Indiana's on par with Kansas. Again, I think Kansas payout was right in the line of about 6.6, maybe 6.7 million for this coming year from Adidas. And that basically says Indiana is up at the very top tier of schools of that profile that have a really powerful basketball brand, maybe not quite as powerful in football, but at the same time, talking about Indiana, you also have a very, very large alumni base that's going to make marketing and apparel and branding and all those things more appealing to a potential partner. And I think that for Adidas, it just made sense to hold on to this relationship. I cannot imagine anybody else putting a better financial package on the table than Adidas. I think this is a pretty, I mean, it's nearly double what Indiana was getting before. That's frankly pretty impressive, even in today's world of exploding financial, you know, college athletics financial.
Yeah, and let's break it down one more. So the money doubles. Where does that go? What does that help with in the athletic department? Can we buy more virtual reality stuff? How does that work?
Well, I think it can go to any number of things. I think obviously cost of attendance, scholarships are something that are basically reality more or less now, and schools are going to have to figure out how to cover those, and that's going to be probably an extra, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, then millions of dollars in the budget in terms of addressing that. And I think if you suddenly expand a revenue stream by $3 million, that helps. I think you can start offering more competitive coaching salaries in different situations. You can, you know, obviously we've heard about not just Assembly Hall renovation, but building a new wrestling volleyball facility, also further renovating Memorial Stadium and closing the south end zone. So I think that, you know, you just have more cash on hand, more liquidity to deal with facilities projects, to deal with maybe the changing nature of college athletics and what it's going to cost. And I think cost of attendance scholarships are a big part of that. And then also to continue sort of upping, you know, your competitiveness and coaching salaries. Because it's interesting, Indiana cleared more than $84 million in athletics revenue last year, which is obviously far and away. I mean, it's almost double what they were clearing 7-8 years ago. And it still puts them at the bottom of the bracket in the Big Ten. So, they are getting richer and richer nationally and still fighting that same fight within their own conference.
Well, that's a problem when you have the second smallest stadium of however many it is, when, 110 here, 107 there, 106 there. Those are big numbers, and that's where they get the leverage and the advantage. Also, suites will be coming to the new Assembly Hall. That'll help put some money in the coffers as well. That's not going to hurt anything, and who knows what happens in down the line in football. So you got to grow or you got to die, and it's good that Indiana is not struggling to find someone to outfit them, which shouldn't be the case ever. So the Adidas deal, good news on all of that. Football starts on Saturday, September 5, as Southern Illinois comes to town. Been pretty quiet otherwise over there, football and basketball-wise, correct? Nothing wrong with that this time of year.
Well, and it's just gearing back up, obviously. You know, basketball, most sports have been off campus except for the fall sports, which have had their athletes around getting ready. And I think football, I mean, now deep into two-a-days, lots of padded practices. It does seem like maybe, you know, some sort of firmer observations are finally starting to suss themselves out. But at the same time, you think about it, we're still a couple weeks away from the opener. I think there's plenty of time yet to learn who will be starting where.
Get those freshmen out of the hotel. Get them into the dorms. Let them figure out how to do their laundry. Then we'll worry about that after this week. I think you're right. That's the 2 weeks leading into that September 5 opener. We'll start to hear some more stuff and start to see what surfaces. And we'll have you back on to talk about that before we get started. Southern Illinois, 4 o'clock Saturday, September 5. That'll kick off your Labor Day weekend. And, hey, we thank you for your time as always. And come back and say hi before we get going in football season, will you?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Glad.
All right, good job, Zach, as always. Zach Osterman, Indy Star beat writer for football and basketball for the Indianapolis Star. Obviously, find him at Zach Osterman on Twitter.